Meta Practice V1. Part. Living It All Day, Chapter 10. Everything is an Opportunity. Part. Living It All Day. Chapter 10. Everything is an Opportunity. The deeper you go into meta practice, the more you start to notice that ordinary life is, in fact, packed with opportunities to practice. There is almost no moment in an ordinary day that cannot be used as a return to meta cue. Once you start seeing this, the practice gets a lot easier because you no longer need to find time for it. The day becomes the practice. Every interaction with another person is an opportunity. Whether you are dealing with someone you love, a stranger, or someone you find difficult, you can extend warmth internally or externally toward them. May this person be happy. May they be free from suffering. You don't have to say it out loud. You don't even have to fully feel it. Just naming the wish, even silently, even reflexively, is enough to interrupt the smaller lens that might otherwise be running. This applies to every kind of interaction. Family members at the breakfast table. The barista who is in a bad mood. The driver who cuts you off. The colleague who is competitive with you. The customer who is being unreasonable. The cashier who is exhausted. The person on the phone who is reading from a script. Your own reflection in the bathroom mirror. In every case, there is an opportunity to add a small wish of warmth. May you be at peace. Most of these moments take less than a second. They cost almost nothing. Their cumulative effect on you, and on the field around you, is enormous. Difficult situations are especially potent. Difficult situations, stress, conflict, frustration, embarrassment are not the opposite of opportunities for practice. They are the strongest opportunities. They are the moments when our habitual tendencies are most visible and most workable. By responding with metta in these situations, even imperfectly, even haltingly, we slowly retrain our default reactions. The next time the same situation arises, we are slightly more available to love. Over months and years, this compounds. This does not mean you should pretend not to be stressed or angry. It means you should bring those states into the practice rather than treating them as the enemy of it. I am angry. May I be at peace. May the person I'm angry with be at peace. May we work this out without harm. Mundane moments count. It is not just dramatic moments that matter. The boring stretches of the day, waiting in lines, riding elevators, walking to the bathroom, doing the dishes, are perhaps the most important practice opportunities, because they are when the mind is most likely to drift into rumination, comparison, or scrolling. They are also where the practice is most easily inserted, because nothing else is happening. Some practitioners use specific cues. Every time the phone rings, take one breath of metta before answering. Every time you walk through a doorway, generate one moment of warmth. Every time you take a sip of water, wish someone well. The cue does not matter. The repetition does. Reflection as practice. Even when we are not in any specific situation requiring a response, reflection itself is practice. Reflecting on the benefits of metta, what it has given you, what it has given the people you love, what it would mean for the world if more people lived this way, strengthens the practice. Reflecting on the costs of its opposite, depression, ill will, hatred, rumination, also strengthens it. The Buddha's teaching on this is direct. What we consider and reflect upon becomes the inclination of our mind. If we spend an hour a day rehearsing grievances, we will tend to find more grievances tomorrow. If we spend even 10 minutes a day reflecting on the goodness of warmth and connection, we will find more of those tomorrow. The mind goes where attention takes it. Why metta is both the foundation and the goal. Metta is both the soil in which other contemplative practices grow well and the form of life they are quietly aiming at. Without warmth, what is anything for? Strength without metta produces tyrants. Wisdom without metta produces cynics. Calm without metta produces a frozen detachment that helps nobody. A concentrated mind without warmth is a sniper's mind, not a sage's. The same applies outside meditation. Ambition without warmth corrodes. Intelligence without warmth chills the rooms it enters. Metta is what makes the rest worth having. It is also what they are pointing at. Why train attention? Why pursue insight? Why develop skill at all? In the long view, so we can live in a state of presence and care for ourselves and for everything else. The means vary. The destination is the same. If a practice or pursuit is making you calmer but less warm, sharper but less kind, more accomplished but less available to other people, something has gone wrong. The point of the work is the warmth.